Got it. Okay.
Okay.
Hi,
Recording
welcome
in
back to our.
progress. I think we have to include these little bits so people can see our
Absolutely.
reality.
Absolutely. Yes.
Hello, everyone. Here we are.
Yes. Welcome back to our podcast, The Ugly Truth About the Girl Next Door. I'm Kate, obviously.
I'm Lori. Also, obviously, because we're so awkward.
Feels like we're once again having to figure out this whole like, are we introducing ourselves? Are we not? Right?
That's true, because it's pretty
'Cause,
obvious who's who.
well, and it's different now. So, yeah.
I
Anyway.
know. Yeah, we gotta do this.
Okay. Do you want to do this? Because we don't
Yeah.
have to.
No, I want to do this. Yeah. I mean, we come this far.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I
Right.
told
You
you I was
ready?
doing this. Sure.
Okay. Hi. Welcome back to our podcast, The Ugly Truth About the Girl Next Door. I'm Kate.
And I'm Lori.
Obviously. And
And
yeah,
here we are.
yes, here we are.
Live.
We are trying out something new. We've been like, I don't even know. We've been wrestling, I guess is the right word, with our record with friends. When we try to record with other people, it's been like glitchy and just really frustrating. So we're trying out recording on Zoom, and that then gives us the ability to have video. So
So here we are. We'll see how this goes.
why are
I
we the
know.
worst and the awkwardest? Awkwardest, that's not the right word. That's
That a
not even
word?
a word. No.
Oh.
So, like a podcast, podcast.
Well,
You know what's
people
really
can
funny though?
listen. They can listen or they can watch.
It's really funny because when we first started the podcast a year ago, my in-laws and some people of their generation, sorry, would constantly say, "I watched her podcast," and it was like, well, you can't watch it, like it's audio. But anyway, so now they can watch it if they want to. So
That will make some people feel much better. Some people definitely
yes,
prefer
yeah,
this.
agreed.
So what are we talking about today, Kate?
So today we are talking about the whiplash feeling, which we've talked about a lot. We've mentioned it a lot, I think, right? But so I guess let's just start by saying that we're really excited to share with our supporters and with our audience.
Our people.
Our people, yes, our people, that we have been expanding into kind of some really exciting spaces. Again, what started out of just sheer desperation for safety in numbers and for telling my story. I mean, truthfully, I don't even know if I've said this before, but telling my story in the event that the worst case scenario would happen, that like it's my voice, my own words that are out there, and no one will ever be able to question that. Although somehow lots of people do question it, but anyways.
Right.
Yeah,
And no one
but
will be able to get away with saying something that was not true about
yeah,
you because you're
exactly. It
saying
will
it.
be right. Like no one will be a right, exactly. So what started as that is just truly an act of desperation has kind of evolved. And we've talked about this on our anniversary episode of how we evolved to this place of being podcasters. No, but of this place of now, okay, what are we gonna do, right? Like what's next? And what's we have all this momentum and we, you know, some
And
things
all
have
this, sorry, and all this awareness of this huge gap in the information that exists out there, the services that exist out there for survivors of family control trafficking.
yes, exactly. The more that we put out there, the more that we also take in. I feel like we keep finding these patterns of holes. We keep finding this lack, for a better word, I guess, that is just, it's mind-bending, really. And so then we have survivors coming to us saying, "Hey, me too," right? And it's like, okay, what are we gonna do with that? Who do we even go to, right? Because there's such a lack of services. So that has kind of brought us into the space that we're moving into, which is more of, not more of, but is adding into, I guess, this advocacy piece, right? And for us right now, that looks like we are starting to create some education materials. We're starting to create like video trainings for specific people, like groups of teachers and groups of medical professionals, DCF workers, parent groups, and have each education materials or video trainings sort of tailored to that specific group, right? Like parents, a group of parents that say like a PTA thing or a mom's group or something is going to look much different than what we're talking to over here to the DCF workers, right? So we're in the process of creating that, and that's like, who are we, right? But it's
So we've said
exciting.
it before, who is the most knowledgeable expert in the field? It's the survivor leaders, right? It's you. And I'm
Yeah.
here to help kind of add the clinical end to your experiences and your firsthand understanding of the dynamics and what that's like. And so the combination of that we think is pretty impactful. I'm just also want to say you said something before, like another conversation about how, yes, we need the child protective workers, we need the medical professionals, we need the professional people to be paying attention and on board. But family control trafficking is such that those are probably not the people who are going to be most likely to realize that there's a problem. It's honestly more likely to be a teacher because that's a space where a child automatically is in a space with an adult without the controller parent there. And it's parents who it's, extracurricular teachers, right? It's like, it's ran other people outside the professional sphere. Yes, we need the professionals to be able to hear this information when it's brought to them, but we're really also trying to get to the regular people so that they understand how meaningful it is for them to build connected relationship with kids and to create a safe space.
I think it is. I wrote that in kind of our launch of this education piece and this new thing that we're doing, that it, there in family control trafficking, there is no like one brothel, right? There's not going to be
Right.
a police raid where they save 100 children. That's not what this is. This is going to be individuals in the world, so teachers, parents, nurses, people who are one-on-one with a child who are going to have to understand and know what this maybe looks like, right? And I think that is sort of the niche of what we want to try to do is educate, like you said, yes, DCF workers, yes, law enforcement, but this is not like after the rescue, now this is how you should handle it. This is the rescue. This is the know the signs, know what to look for, know that it even exists. How many people have come to us and said, I didn't even know that this kind of thing could go on in my backyard? It can, right? So,
And does.
and does. And so, knowing, having, having that knowledge base and having the knowledge of what it looks like, of who might be affected, of the reality that these offenders do not look like skeevy, like slumlord type of situations. These are like everyday, most of a lot of the time, church-going people, right? Like that's right. So I also think, obviously, like the podcast has been great and we've reached a lot of people, but this is a more condensed way to say, say one of our listeners has a mom group and they're like, I don't. My whole mom group isn't going to listen to however many hours of the podcast, but I want them to have the information. That's kind of where I think these trainings will come in into play. So super
Exciting.
exciting. It is super exciting, right? Like it's very exciting.
So then what's the
But
whiplash?
yeah, so the whiplash, is that there is still like, okay, so when I transitioned from, not transitioned, but when I went from kid me, living in this dark space and then living in the bright world to kind of having that church me persona where it was just like, I like that people can actually see me do
No, they can finally see your amazing hand gestures.
my kids' drawings back there.
Oh.
I know. And I can hear one of my kids outside the door, like breathing heavily.
Sure it's just the one?
Yeah, but oh, the whiplash. Yeah, it's exciting, and oh, having that church me, sorry.
That's what you are.
Having that church facing self and that church me part of me that just kind of put all of that in the box, like that's over there. And now I'm gonna be this amazing, like read my Bible every day and journal every day and like all the things. I'm afraid that that's gonna happen now. Like the whiplash is this feeling of I can be this advocate and I have this public facing self, but there is still this part of me that's diligent and has to be hyper vigilant, and that's really exhausting. And safety is always going to be an issue. I'm never ever going to get to a place where it's just like fine. You know what I mean? Like we've made so much progress and we've gained so much ground. And I'm thankful for that, but that's not gonna go away necessarily.
So can you
You look
talk
like you're.
about, no, I was going to say, can you talk about that a little bit, that feeling of why won't it go away? Because I think that's, for some people, that's probably news.
That the safety issue won't go away.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think that I mean, my experience has been that these people don't give up. I guess I view it right now as we're at like a standstill. Like
Like a
we have
stalemate.
footing. I don't know what that means, but sure.
A stalemate.
What does that mean?
It's this, like we're each pushing against.
Yeah, that's it.
Again, people can see our gestures now.
I know.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my
And how
gosh.
weird we are. Okay, anyway.
It is. It's like it's that word that you just said. It's this feeling of like before, okay, this is my great analogy, ready? Before there was like this. I was just being trampled, right? There was no room to even breathe. It was just like a constant flow of threats and people showing up, and there was no space to even come up for air. And then, the podcast kind of, and first then it was my husband, right? I have my husband and I got married, and so I could at least sit up and kind of, there was still trampling happening, but I was able to sit up. And then Lori came, right? And then I was able to kind of kneel, maybe, right? And so there's still all the things happening, but I can at least breathe a little. And then it was like we need more, right? And that's the strength in numbers, right? And so then it was we start the podcast and we have all these people. And so now I can stand up. But now we're literally like this with the people, with the bad people. And we have a great foothold. We can stand this ground. And right now they have no access to leave threats. There's nowhere that they really could even do that. I've fortified my house and myself and all the things, but how long, right? How long can we hold that standstill, I guess, is the feeling.
And that's
Maybe
exhausting for
it's
you to have to
exhausting.
be constantly having that energy put into keeping the tide back.
Yes.
And you're not doing it alone anymore, but it's still your experience.
Right. And it's so, yes, yay to the advocacy part. The only reason I'm even able to do the advocacy part is because now I can stand, and because now we're at a standstill, and because there's all these people around us that are holding that ground with us. But, like, for how long? Right? Like, how long until I lose my footing? How long until they find an inn somewhere? How long until, right? So it's that whiplash feeling of like, yay, we've like gotten here. Like we're like gonna fill these holes and we're gonna do these things and it's exciting. And then it's like, oh, right, but still the hypervigilance, still all of the healing that needs to happen, still all of the things. So
And how does it feel, like as we try to navigate these waters? I mean, I feel like you and I have said it many times. Every step we take is a step we've never taken before. Like we weren't podcasters when we started. We have become podcasters, but we didn't start there. And every step we take, it feels like I don't know, is this the right thing to do? Is this the right way to do it? Or is the tone correct? Is the information correct? Like all of that. And how does it feel if like we're locked in this stalemate is the word. We're locked in this stalemate and we worry about, well, what if I get it wrong? What if I misstep?
Right. It triggers all the old stuff though, like that whole concept of I have to do it right. You know, there is no room for a misstep. There's just no space at all.
So I'm thinking about the fact that you are a person who ran a clinic, and I'm sure that that was not a flawless process, that there were speed bumps and needing to kind of regroup and take a slightly different approach to things or whatever. And so there is this part of you that understands that to do anything of any magnitude requires having space for that kind of process, like an unfolding. But then there's also this other part of you, again, here's the whiplash, this other part of you that's like, no, like, no, not doing it right, 1001% right is not really an option.
Yeah.
Because bad things happen.
Yeah. All of that. Yes.
That's a lot. It's a lot to carry.
Yeah. Yeah. And this feeling of, is this public facing self and this advocacy part of me going to bury the rest of me, right? Like, is there not going to be space for allowing, I don't know how to phrase it, for allowing it to be, right? Am I just gonna like plow through it and be like, I'm good now because I'm advocating for other people, and not deal with my own, you know what I mean?
I do. I think what you're trying to say is that there is some fear that people expect that of you, right? So now, so now you're good. So now you've gotten to a place, right? So we're good. We don't have to talk about the bad things anymore. So there's that. But there's also this fear that the old routine of how this has always been of like, we don't hold space for both at the same time. Right. In your experience, there was no opportunity to hold space for I'm struggling and I'm doing the best I can to do the best I can. You can't do both. So your fear is you're going to default right back to that. Right.
Yes.
And it's hard because no matter how many times we say and talk about the ways that we're going to make sure that doesn't happen, it's still scary. And sometimes it still feels that way. Like, here we are doing the advocacy thing and this part is kind of forward. And then there's this feeling of like, ugh, is this now who I am?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. It's also the whiplash of like the empowering and also overwhelmed feeling, right? There's the really push pull of that, of like, this is very empowering. This is very like, Christiana texted me today and said, can you believe that for your whole life you had no voice? And now when you speak, how many people listen, right? And I don't know. I think that will never, like, that shock value will never wear off. I really don't. Because yeah, I it's mind bending. So it's very empowering because it's like, I do have a voice. We talk about this all the time when things happen or when, you know, whatever there is concern, we have a platform, right? We have a place to go with it. We have something to do about it. It's not just take it,
just
lay
have
down
to
and
deal
take
with
it
it
anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Don't get trampled. You don't just have to get trampled.
Right. So it's amazing and it's empowering and it's all the things. And it's also overwhelming, right? Like every time we do an episode where we share, like the episode that we did about the women, it took days for me to kind of come out of that. Because was it empowering to be able to talk about these women who did these things? Absolutely. Was it empowering to be able to name my mother and say she did this to me? Absolutely. But did it open a lot of boxes that I then had to spend days putting back together and putting myself back together? Also, absolutely. So it's
also
that. It's
being aware that it's the, even just the amount of time that it takes, right? So there are things as we go down this road, things that need to get done. And it's, there's a certain amount of, I don't know, like a tsunami now of stuff but you need the 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 days to curl up in a ball and feel the feelings and deal with the fallout. And it's not always easy to make space for that.
Right, because it's easy for me to easily like slide into this advocate part that just like would rather live in this like super exciting and I can do all the things and my words are power and all, you know, that it's easy to live there. It's not so easy to live laying on the poof, you know, Netflixing all. And I know that sounds crazy because most people are probably like, I would love a day on the poof, right? But a day on the poof is really, sorry, a poof is like a love sack, like a giant cushion that I lay on. It's great.
Like a giant beanbag chair, only better.
Yeah, Google love sack. That's really, it's, yeah. I didn't get paid for that ad, but anyway.
So I'm just looking around. It's like blizzard snowing kind of right
really?
Now. And my room got super dark. Yeah. No, not at your house.
Mm-mm, sunny no. Here.
Okay. Did it get dark over here?
Like a little. Oh,
here.
I'm like
here.
No, you look great.
Okay. Good. Okay.
Okay. Good. Yeah. Like it would be very easy to just like live there, you know, and then and not take the days too, but then like it's gonna build and it's gonna build and it's gonna build, and I know that I've been down this road a million times, so I know that there needs to be space for the foof, but there also it's just it's hard to like, you know, do that, I guess. So this journey is a lot.
Right. And yeah, I know, I feel like we keep saying it, but it is so empowering and exciting. And it's also really overwhelming. And I don't know, scary is maybe not exactly the right word, but like that whole feeling of we're in uncharted territory and we're doing the best we can. We don't want to get it wrong. There's a lot riding on it, your safety, you know, the opportunity to have this platform and use it well. I don't know, it's just a lot. And I think, so what's the point of this conversation is I think for people to recognize first that we are moving in a direction of education and advocacy and looking to have a bigger impact, but also reminding everyone that the people that you see out there, whether it's Kate or the others who've come before you who are survivor leaders, they are simultaneously having to do both their own healing work and also drag this stuff out into the light. And that's so not fair that,
yeah,
you know, you should first absolutely should not have to be doing it by yourself. There shouldn't have to be a dragging. There should be like a leading, but not a dragging. It's just a lot to expect, a lot. So.
Yeah, it is a lot. It is a lot. And again, this is the push pull. It is a lot. And I'm really thankful for the ability to do this. I'm really thankful that we have this platform. I'm really thankful for the lots and lots and lots of people that are standing with us. I'm really thankful that we have a place to go with these things that, you know, it's not just me and you and Patrick anymore who won't stand for threats continuing. It's a lot more people than that. We wouldn't be here without that. So it's a lot, and it's also, it's overwhelming and empowering all at the same time. So
right.
One day my head's going to explode.
Well, let's hope not. We're trying to prevent that, I think, by making space. By maintaining that space for, I don't know, days when it's just hard. And I mean, you know, even for you and me, needing to constantly remind each other that it's okay to not be okay sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
So what we're hoping that people will take away as they hear all of this is, yay, be excited with us as we move into this space. And also remember that if for every survivor leader, it comes at a cost to kind of go down this road. So don't make us drag you.
Right? Come with us.
Come with us. Yes.
Yeah. Awesome. Stay tuned.
Okay. Stay tuned.